Good morning. Have to check whether it's morning or afternoon at this time. Okay, so while I'm just getting my stuff ready, I want you to think around what has happened this week for you, okay? So maybe just think about the good, the bad, and the lovely, okay? The good, the bad, and the lovely, all right? So start to think now and give you about, I don't know, a minute to think, okay? The good, the bad, and the lovely. And then maybe have a chat with somebody next door to you. But don't chat yet. Keep thinking. Okay, there we go. You're thinking, not just looking at me. Okay, so the good, the bad, and the lovely. Okay, so have a chat to somebody next door to you, okay? And then just chat about what's been good, what's been maybe not so good, and what's been lovely. If you don't get to the bad, great, okay? But do think about the lovely and the good. Off you go, please. I'm going to just earwig, okay? Okay, right. So, anybody quickly want to say about what was good about this week? Somebody, please. Somebody. Quick. Yes, there we go. Yes. You went bowling yesterday. Okay, excellent. What was your score? Do you know your score? That's okay. But it was a fairly good time, yes? And was it with friends? Okay, excellent. Good. Bowling, nice thing to do, gather with friends. So anything maybe not so good. Okay, anybody got anything? Yes, Jen?
I went away.
Mm-hmm.
And forgot my hair.
Forgot your hairbrush. that's really bad, that is, yeah. If that's the bad, then that's pretty good. Okay. All right, and the lovely.
Anything? Talking to our family in America.
Excellent, talking to your family in America, excellent, okay. Right, okay, so we'll move on, all right. So, for me, my job is a really cool job, I think. I coach tennis, and I coach table tennis. So, I could have the most amazing all singing, all dancing, not literally, coaching session, and it would mean nothing, because the whole point of me coaching is to help people become better. Otherwise, what's the point? So for me to be really of use, I need to see people getting better. And I just thought of, I'm not really into a nice polished performance. I think I used to be, you know, me up the front, you know, look at me, I can do this, I can do that, I can put a great PowerPoint together, I'm quite good at talking sometimes. But what's the point of that? What is the point of that if it's a polished performance? It just doesn't change anybody. So my hope is, just like the people, the little kids or the older people that play tennis, that they can actually improve. My hope is that you can change as a result of, hopefully, God doing something in you, maybe through little me, and that would be really good. So that is my hope. So I'm just going to read from Romans 12, 4 to 8, okay? Just thinking about... So I want to kind of encourage the body. That's what I want to do, because that's one of the things that I'm meant to do in my life. So just, I keep saying this again and again. Nadia picks me up on it. I say, you know, just be who you're meant to be. Be who you're meant to be. Be who God made you to be. And that's what I'm going to try and be. Because... isn't that when we really, really, really shine? Isn't that when we really, really, really are kind of flowing and just awesome? Because we really can be awesome. That's one side of it. We can be really awesome. And yet, I'm very aware I can be an absolute beep. I can be... And that's the truth. It's the two sides. So how do we kind of cope with these two things? We can be awesome, and yet we can be absolutely awful. Okay, so anyway, let me read from Romans 12, 4 to 8. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Romans 12, verses 4 to 8. Okay. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So maybe you can put yourself in one of those places. Maybe you can't. There's way more gifts than that anyway. So don't limit it to that. But know what your gift is and do it. Just do it, because that way you are really just doing the right thing. Are you the thumb? You know, is that your job? You know, are you the thumb? Are you the ear? Are you the nose? Are you the knee? But be happy that the knee is doing its thing. But don't, if you're a thumb, do what the knee does. Because really, your thumb isn't made to kind of work like the knee. So just be who you're meant to be. Be who you're meant to be. And let God let you be who you're meant to be. So my one... I think my one on there. Can you guess which one it might be? I don't know if you can. Yeah, it is. It is. It's to encourage. Okay? Maybe to teach. Maybe you're right. Maybe. But definitely to encourage. I want to encourage you people. I want to let you be better people. That's what I want you to be. Anyway, another scripture. Colossians 2. Verse 2 to 4. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yeah. Colossians 2, verses 2 to 4. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. There's a lot of stuff that they sound fine, but to be honest, there's no life in them. How much stuff do you get on Facebook that just has this saying and you think, oh, that looks quite good, but it doesn't change you because Jesus isn't in it. You know, just let Jesus do the stuff. I mean, I'm staggered by what God is doing in me. I'm staggered. I think I'm singing and I'm relaxed and I'm at peace about this. It's really like Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, he says, you know, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. You know, I've been incredibly weary and heavy laden from the stuff that people have put on me in my job in the past. I've been bared down. But he promises, learn of me. I am gentle and meek of heart, and I will give you rest. Yes. Then he says, you're going to stay rested. No, he doesn't. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's awesome. He offers me rest. So for me, actually, when Jenny said about standing up, for me, I was thinking, well, that's great for you. But for me, I'm just going to rest in his love. I'm just going to rest. You know, and I want to be yoked to Jesus, because when I'm yoked to Jesus, and the picture is of two oxen, okay, and there's this yoke, one this side, one this side. One of the oxen has done it all before, no problem, so big, so strong. The other one is the new little young one that comes alongside, and that's a picture of Jesus and us. He's the one who's going to do the pulling. I'm just going to learn of him. And I'm just going to just go with him. And suddenly it's easy. Yeah. This is easy. You see, I can be awesome. But it's not because of me. It's not because of me doing all this stuff. It's because I've got the creator of the universe, the most incredible person, alongside me. Not only alongside me, he's actually within me. He's making me be what I'm meant to be. How good is that? But is it just me? No, I see it. I see it when you play the violin. I see it. You know, I just see it in so many different ways. When you're so friendly, John. You're so friendly to people. Yes, you are. I see it. And I see God is just doing something. I see it in your wisdom, Karen. I do. I really, really do. It might be hard to take sometime, but I see it. But God sees so much more. Yes. You know? We can be awesome. You know? We can be awesome. There's that song in the first Lego film. Everything is awesome. You know, everything is awesome. But it's not awesome, but sometimes we think we're awesome of ourselves, and actually we're just like just a little Lego person. You know, it's like my daughter made that me for Christmas, so we've got it says he will never let go of you, which just really, but yeah, you can have a look at that. There you are. I'll pass it around if you like. But if you can imagine the company Lego, it's massive. It's just incredible. But if that Lego piece within inside that frame were to say, I'm awesome, how ridiculous is that? Because it's just a created thing. And we are just a created thing. And of ourselves, We are not awesome. And yet, unlike that Lego thing that has been created, we are created in the image of our Creator. And He is able to, He wants, we're made to have His breath, His life in us. And that is what makes us awesome. So it is true that we're not awesome, and yet we are awesome. Because it is Christ in us who makes us awesome. So be awesome. Okay. So to become more like Him, we need to be transformed. And that's really, really important. We need a renewing of our minds. Be willing to be used by Him. So just let Him shine. Rest in His love. And let me read you this out. This is what Jesus said. Very truly, I tell you. So if he's saying very truly, it's like, this is a really important point. I'm underlining this. This is so important. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. So I think we need to pray more boldly. We need to pray more boldly. We need to, as children with a lavish Heavenly Father, say, God, I'm asking for this. Not for ourselves, maybe a bit, but for the body, for people who are really important to us. So I had a picture earlier on in the service, and it was like this big bank, and it had loads of money inside, vault and everything. And I could just walk up, nobody could stop me, and that whole treasure in that vault was accessible to me. And that's what God is offering. He's saying, it's there, it's all yes and amen in Jesus. You know, there's nothing that can stop you accessing that treasure that is in Christ, that hidden treasure that is in Christ. So I think we need to ask more. Okay, and on Thursday, a few of us, John, you went as well, we went and listened to a guy called Alex Ribeiro, is that his name? He's a guy from Brazil, and he was brought up in a very poor part of Brazil. And he really wanted to be a racing car driver. Okay, the only problem was he's poor, and how are you going to be a racing car driver if you're poor? But he went away on a Christian camp, this is what he said, and he just prayed. Quite a cheeky prayer, but I think God's into cheeky prayers. You know, if you think of, you know, Abraham, you know, talking with God, saying, you know, you'll save this place if, you know, 50 and then the 40, you know, and he's a bit cheeky, you know, with God. Well, Alex Ribeiro, I think, was a bit cheeky with God. Alex said, if you enable me to be a racing car driver, then I will always give glory to you in my life. That's a bit cheeky, isn't it? Yeah? But that's what he prayed. And he did pray from his heart. And amazingly, he did become a racing car driver. You know? That's amazing. But then later on, things went wrong. He thought he was going to be, you know, on the podium with Formula One, maybe the winner. But that didn't happen. And it was like God did give him what he asked for, and yet God gave him more. God gave him an opportunity to actually speak to real stellar sportsmen in Brazil. And Brazil, obviously, their main interest is what? Football. you know, football. And so he would speak and he would minister to these rising stars. And so many of them were Christians. And he was able to just help them to just blossom and grow. And he described it like he had a seed. His thought was just to be, you know, a racing car driver and give glory to God. But that seed actually died. Yes, he did that. He did have that. He did get given that. So just like I've got, you know, a seed of wheat there. You know, if I were to take that seed, it's in there somewhere. God did give him. He gave him that. And then it just seemed to be gone. Just gone. Just went. And yet, God gave him so much more. And isn't that the way that God is? You know, we think we know what we need. He can give us that. But he can give us so much more. So, and as I was thinking about this, chatting with Judith, you know, we were thinking, when have we really made bold prayers in our lives? And I have to say, for me, I don't do it very often. But when I look back at my life, and maybe you can think at your own life and think of when you've really made a bold prayer, okay? Maybe it's been in a time of hardship, because frequently that's the case, isn't it? If we're in a hard time, suddenly we start praying, you know? But I can think back over my life and I can think, God, you have done amazing things. You have done amazing things. When I have prayed boldly. But I think we need to do it more often, you know? And so it is my hope that your prayers will be prayed boldly and they will be with faith, believing that God can do it. And then in your day-to-day lives, things will happen that you think, wow, God, you have done it. You've really done it. That is my hope. That's what I want to see happen. Because when I think of Jesus, I think of him like he's just going about his daily life, and then he sits down by a well, and then a woman comes across, and Father tells him, just ask her for a drink. And then they get into conversation. That woman's life gets changed. Then she goes and tells these people and their lives are changed. It's like that word, that one word that Jesus said began to just unlock her life. Yes. That one seed began to unlock her life. But that one seed began to bring a harvest into her life and a harvest into other people's lives. That is what I want to see happen. Please, we can despise that seed, and yet it is that which can bring an incredible harvest. Your life can bring an incredible harvest. One of the bold prayers that I just find staggering, and it was in a hard time. It wasn't me who prayed it. Stephen. Okay? Stephen is one of the early believers. Holy Spirit has come down. He's full of the Holy Spirit. People start saying really nasty stuff about him. They really don't like him. He stands and he speaks the truth. And he keeps speaking the truth. In the end, they can't stand the truth that he's saying. And they pick up stones and they throw them at him. And he falls to his knees and his bold prayer is, I'll read you the bit from when he speaks to them, okay? In Acts 7, verse 56 to 60. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. That seed had died. That's it. But it wasn't it. Because the person who was orchestrating the killing of Stephen was prayed for by Stephen. And that person was Saul. So Saul now, responsible for the murder of Stephen, is out to destroy this growth of this new cult, it seemed. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 3 to 6. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you were persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I find that staggering, that Jesus identifies with Stephen's persecution. Jesus identifies with the persecution of the Christians. He says, "It's me." And that's true, because it's his body. Yes. We are his body. But Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul's life is turned around. So that he can go on to say, this is Saul, who becomes known as Paul. "If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Those are the words of somebody who was at one time a murderer. And yet, somebody prayed for him. God, in his mercy, forgave him. And this person is changed. I think the word Saul means God hears, God listens. God listened to Stephen's prayer. But Saul changed his name. I didn't realize this. I thought that God changed Saul's name. He didn't. Saul changed his name to Paul. So he took on a Roman name, a Latin name, Paul. Do you know what Paul means? It just means small. It means little. And I think that's great. It's like he's not bigging himself up. He's willing to become small, to say, I'm nothing. And yet, just like, you know, these things, they just seem to be nothing. And yet, God can use the small. So I'm quite happy being small. I'm quite happy being small if God is in me, because the small that is in me can do amazing things. I do hope that something small, seed-like, but with life in it, becomes embedded within you and grows so that amazing harvest and fruit happens. So please be encouraged. God is great. What he's doing is awesome. I don't know what else to say. Let me pray. Okay. Thank you that the truth is we seem to be insignificant, and yet you love us so much. You delight to use us. You are our Father who listens to our prayers, and you can do amazing things as we ask you. Live in us more and more, and may we be transformers in people's lives because you transform us, Jesus.